story that's easy to understand. It's used to explain things that are harder to understand, especially spiritual truths. Parables are interesting. They're short, they're easy to remember. Messiah taught in parables also to make the truth clear to those who were willing to hear, but obscure to those who lacked genuine spiritual interest. So the truth became clearer to those who were really interested, but it became hidden to those who lacked real spiritual interest. Why did Messiah want to hide the truth from those who lacked real spiritual interest? For the same reasons he told us not to throw our pearls before swine. Truth is a precious thing. It should be loved and respected and cherished. It should not be treated poorly. Giving too much truth to someone who is not interested in the truth harms that person. He hears the truth, he then rejects it, and he digs himself deeper into a deadly hole. And if he persists in rejecting the truth, since he now knows more of the truth and has rejected it, his punishment will be more severe, because to whom more is given, more is required. So, not giving too much truth is a mercy to a person who is not genuinely interested in the truth. Okay, that brings us to our parable for today, the lost sheep, Matthew 18, starting with verse 1. This is background material that brings us to the parable. At that time, the disciples came to Yeshua and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom?" People judge each other. They want to know who's the most important, who's the greatest. The disciples came to Yeshua and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Referring to themselves. Now, Peter was the one who got out of the boat and walked on the water with Yeshua. When Yeshua asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" it was Peter who answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." To which Yeshua gave this great reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my community, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Wow, that is a powerful statement from the Lord Yeshua to Peter, powerful commendation. When the issue of paying the temple tax came up, it was Peter to whom the Lord said, "Go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and your tax." Very cool. Very cool miracle. It was Peter, along with James and John, who were with Yeshua on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw Yeshua transformed and revealed in his glory. The disciples believed that Yeshua was the Messiah. They believed he was the king. They were confident that Yeshua would soon retake control of Israel from the Romans. He would need his most loyal followers to help him rule over his kingdom. Who was the greatest among them? Who would be at his right hand helping him rule over Israel? Would it be Peter? Would it be the two brothers, James and John, the sons of thunder? These three, Peter, James, and John, formed Yeshua's inner circle. He seems to have been closest to those three and included them on the most special occasions. Or perhaps it was one of the other disciples who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So at that time, the disciples came to Yeshua and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" That question reflects what fallen human nature is really like. We are selfish. We want to be first. We want to be the most important. We want to rule. We don't want to be ruled. However, King Yeshua will not tolerate those worldly attitudes among his followers. So let's continue. He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." What characterizes little children? They are simple. They are humble. They are trustful. They have no ambition to rule over others. Those who don't have the simple desire to serve God, those who are not humble, those who don't trust the Lord and his word, and those who do have ambition to rule others will not enter the kingdom of heaven. God uses positive and negative reinforcements to motivate us. He uses the carrot and he uses the stick. So next, the Lord Yeshua gave the disciples some carrot. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I want to share a thought from a commentary I recently read on Matthew about this section, a man named Hendrickson. The only way to ascend is to descend. The way to rise is to sink. The way to become great is to become little. The way to rule is to serve. Whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Here's some more carrot from Yeshua. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Here's another great thought from Hendrickson's commentary on Matthew. By welcoming any of those who belong to Messiah, no matter how insignificant he may appear to the world, we are welcoming the Messiah himself, because it's impossible to separate the Lord from those who belong to him. So, when we welcome a seemingly unimportant follower of the Messiah, we are welcoming the Son of God himself. And the Son of God will reward those who welcome him. So every interaction with seemingly unimportant believers is an opportunity to be rewarded by the Son of God. Wow, that makes me want to welcome these seemingly unimportant fellow believers. In the kingdom of heaven, there are the great and there are the small. There are people with great abilities and those with few abilities. And there are those in between. In the kingdom of heaven, there are those with great wealth and those who are poor, and there are those who are in between. In the kingdom of heaven, there are those with power and influence, and those who have very little power and influence, and there are those in between. We must not think that because someone is not gifted or influential, that he is not as important as someone who is very gifted and very influential. Every believer is exceedingly precious. Each one has exceedingly great value. Each one will one day become a great and glorious king, a great and glorious queen. Each one is to be loved, cherished, treasured. Each one is to be treated as valuable, precious, worthy, important. Each one is important to the Son of God. Each one is important to God the Father. So each one must be important to us as well. And if we don't treat the seemingly unimportant, the seemingly insignificant follower of Yeshua the way he should be treated, with respect, as being valuable, precious, important, if we ignore him, mistreat him, so that he is hurt, offended, walks away from the Lord, God uses positive and negative reinforcements to motivate us. He uses the carrot and the stick. Now here comes the stick. Yeshua said, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. There are good ways to die, and there are bad ways to die. Here's a good way to die. You've lived a long and successful life. You've married well. You're 100 years old. You're in bed surrounded by loving family and in no pain, and you gently take your last breath. That's a good way to die. A bad way to die? Well, scary Yeshua told them that having a very large, very heavy stone used for grinding grain hung around your neck and then being placed in a deep part of the sea so that you sink very fast and very far under those dark, cold waters and you drown, that's better than the punishment that will come to those who cause a seemingly insignificant follower of Messiah to stumble. That's scary. Why must we treat all of our fellow believers well, even if they are seemingly unimportant? See that you do not despise one of these little ones, the Lord continued, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. If the good angels, who are God's great and glorious servants, are interested in the seemingly unimportant Christians, the seemingly unimportant Messianic Jews, and they care about them and watch over them and assist them and protect them, shouldn't we consider them important as well? Treat them well. All right, this is all background for the parable of the lost sheep, which is what we finally arrived at. So Messiah said, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. That's the parable. So a man has 100 sheep. He's concerned about each one of those 100 sheep. Each one is important to him. He cares for each one. If just one wanders off, he cares about it. He exerts effort to find it. And if he finds his lost sheep, he is delighted. This is easy to understand. Now for the truths that are harder to understand. Yeshua told us what they are so we don't have to guess. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. God the Father loves each one of his sons and daughters, the great and the small, even the seemingly unimportant, insignificant ones, the ones with less power and influence and ability. He doesn't want any one of them to be hurt or damaged. He does not want the life of any of them to be ruined, especially by our selfishness, our lack of sensitivity, our lack of understanding of their worth, and therefore treating them in a bad way. We must consider every child of God to be important, like our Heavenly Father does. We must care for them. We must protect them. We must not harm them or hurt them. We must treat each and everyone right. We must treat them in a way that is worthy of the God who made them in His image, who loved them, and who will glorify them. The parable of the lost sheep.